And again, welcome to everyone that's in service today. We appreciate you being here. It's hard to believe it's the last Sunday in August. Next week, we'll start September, have communion, and the kids will already be in school. So drive careful. I know all of you obey the speed limits through school zones. First service, I'm going to have to deal with them a little bit on that. But anyway, thank you for being here today. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 9. The Gospel of John, chapter 9. I want to talk about the miracle that Jesus performed when he healed a blind man and gave him back his sight, a rather unusual method that he used to heal him. But really, the discussion around this miracle really started in chapter 8, and then it would work its way to the miracle in chapter 9. And the discussion about this miracle would continue even into chapter 10. So it's quite lengthy, but suffice for us this morning will be the first 12 verses, and then we'll go a little bit further and share some things today. So I'm beginning to read at verse number 1 of John chapter 9 this morning. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Let me read that again. The disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now when he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent, the pool called sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Such detail John gives us in this most amazing of miracles about the dialogue that goes on as they are questioning this man about this miracle. I want to talk this morning about what lens are we using when we look at people and situations. This miracle that Jesus performed was amazing. But Jesus also used it to challenge the thinking of several groups of people. And it begs the question, what lens do we use when we look at things? I was riding with Eddie one day in his truck, and we were traveling somewhere, and I had on my sunglasses, and I said, boy, these sunglasses just aren't doing the trick. And I'm a big spender when it comes to sunglasses. I mean, I'll pay up to $1.99 for a pair of sunglasses. I'm a big spender. And so Eddie looked over at him, and then he opened up a little compartment, and he said, here, Dad, try these. And Eddie won't pay $1.99 for sunglasses. He buys a little nicer sunglass, not real expensive. But he handed them to me, and I put them on, and I went, whoa. These are amazing. These are amazing. These are incredible. And he just smiled and said, yeah, Dad, you kind of get what you pay for. And so yesterday I was working around the house. Jimmy was doing a project there for me, and my job was to spray weed killer on some grass. And so I had on my better sunglasses. I went and bought some that Eddie recommended. So I had those sunglasses on, and so I was trying to read the label on the carton, and so I put on my regular glasses over my sunglasses, right? You don't do that? Well, I do. So I got my sunglasses because it's bright, and I got my reading glasses over those, and I'm reading the labels, all right? So now I'm spraying this stuff, and things just don't look right. And all of a sudden, I said, because I've got gloves on, I don't want to touch anything, and I said, Jimmy, do I have my reading glasses over my sunglasses? He said, yes, Pastor, you do. And so I took them off, and I went, whoa, man, can I see clearly now, all right? How many know that it really matters what lens you look through as to how you see things, right? What lens we look through. So what lens do we use when we look at things? Second question, do we judge others by what we see through our lens? Whatever lens it is that we're looking through, is that how we judge people in situations? And thirdly, is it possible that we too need to go to wash in the pool because maybe we need a new way to see things? Those are some of the challenges this morning. Now, I want to take a closer look at the people that reacted to this wonderful miracle of Jesus and look at the lenses, if you will, that they were looking through about this miracle. All right? Now, the first one is the disciples. Look at verses 1 through 3 again, if you would. Excuse me. Now, it says, as Jesus passed by, he saw this man who was blind from his birth. So he has never been able to see at all. And because of that, he is a beggar. Generally, if someone was blind, they had to take up begging for their occupation to make their living, but also to assist their family in paying for their needs. And so generally speaking, not all the time, but generally in Bible days, if you were blind, you were a beggar. It's just what you did. And so as they passed by, they saw this blind beggar, no doubt, and his disciples asked this question. They said, verse 2, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, the disciples were looking at this man through the lens of what I call how they were raised. And that is a lens of how we were raised. The disciples were taught, it was common in that day to teach this, that if someone were blind or sick or had some kind of an infirmity, that either they had sinned or their parents had sinned and they were experiencing the punishment of God because of that sin. And that's what they believed. The disciples believed that. They had been taught that from a young age, and that's what they were looking at this blind man. Every time they went by a blind person or a beggar, they had the lens of how they were raised, and it said they must have sinned. But Jesus corrects that, because we need to know this morning that lens is wrong. This man did not sin, nor did his parents sin. Amen. It does not mean you've sinned if you have a sickness or an illness. Now, I know that there are those who may say that, but it's wrong. Look at verse 3. Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned. There was no sin involved. You're looking at it, disciples, through the lens of how you were raised. This man didn't sin. His parents did not sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. This man is blind so that God's works can be done and God can receive the glory. That's the answer right there. Now, I do think, though, there are things we can do, sinful things that can lead to a damaged body or a sickness or something like that. We know that. If we voluntarily do things that violate God's word and we sin, we could suffer repercussions. But just because I am blind does not mean I have sinned. Just because I'm sick doesn't mean my parents have sinned. And that kind of teaching, I believe, has really caused great anguish in people's lives, wondering, what did I do, when really they did not do nothing, but God wanted to use his glory somehow to use that to glorify them. One of the greatest preachers England has ever known was Charles Spurgeon. He pastored in his day what we would be considered a mega church in our day. And a lot of people don't realize that Charles Spurgeon was constantly plagued with what he called the dark cloud of success. People today have diagnosed it as depression, and he struggled with it. Most people didn't know that because he hid it really well. And he was talking one day to a very close friend of his, an African American, and they were very, very close people. And he was talking to him, and he was crying, and he was saying to him, he said, "Thomas, I suffer with this, and I don't know what's happening." And his friend, his African American friend, said, "Charles, it is not anything you have done. It is what it just has happened to you. It's there. You have not sinned. But the enemy always uses it to try to get you down. What you've got to do," in that African-American tenor, he said, "what you got to do is you've got to set the standard and tell the devil, tell him he has no right to be in your life." And he just began to preach to Charles Spurgeon, and they ended up having a prayer meeting in his living room. And he was right. Amen. It was right. So when we're raised, sometimes we can be raised wrong. We can be raised with the wrong kind of teaching. I know how I was raised as a boy in Central California. There were certain prejudices that were taught to me. I had to relearn, take off that lens of prejudice, and begin to look at things how God tells us to look. Amen? So the disciples were looking at it through the lens of how we were raised. And maybe some of us experienced that. We were raised a certain way. But I want to tell you, I love the fact that Jesus corrected the disciples right then. Amen? He said, "Neither this man nor his parents have sinned." The next group of people that we see are the neighbors, verses 8 through 12. It says, therefore, verse 8, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" And then some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." Now, it's interesting to me that the neighbors can't tell this man from other beggars. I don't know, did they look so much alike? Is that the situation? Or did the neighbors just didn't care? Was it that the neighbors just didn't give him a second thought? He's blind, and maybe they were raised the same way the disciples were. Maybe they felt like he had sinned, and so he deserved it, and so maybe they just passed him by. But for whatever reason, the neighbors who lived by this family couldn't even recognize this man of whether he was that beggar or another beggar. And so they went back and forth. Is it he? Is it not he? Is it he? Is it not he? And finally, the beggar said, look, the blind man said, "I am he." And they said, "Well, what happened?" And he recounted the story. He said, "A man named Jesus," verse 11, "came and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received sight." Then they said, "Where is he?" And he says, "I don't know." See, Jesus just spat on the ground, made some mud, put it in his eyes, and said, "Now go to the pool of Siloam." And then Jesus walked away. The blind man made his way to the pool of Siloam. He washed the mud out of his eyes, and suddenly he could see. He was healed, but Jesus had walked away. So the people said, "Where is he?" And the man said, "I don't know where he's at. All I know is that I can see." The neighbors, to me, represent the lens of uncertainty. I'm just not sure about this thing called Jesus. I'm not sure if Jesus was the Son of God. I'm not sure if Jesus is real. I'm not sure about this whole church thing. I'm looking through the lens of uncertainty, and I'm not certain these Christians are all they're cracked up to be. That is a very dangerous lens to look through, because when you're looking through the lens of uncertainty, the devil is able to come in and give you the lens of deception. Come on. And for a Christian to be uncertain. Listen, we have no excuse for the lens of uncertainty. If we're not sure if something is right or wrong, we've got the book that'll tell us whether it is or isn't. Amen? This book right here will help us remove the lens of uncertainty. And so like the neighbors, some people go, I don't know, is it real? Is it not real? Is it him? Is it not him? They're uncertain. And because of that, they're washy-washy. And they're like Reuben in the Old Testament, like water. You always seek the lowest level. You just don't know what you're doing. But Christians, I believe, if anybody ought to know how to live, it ought to be God's people, right? It ought to be God's people. And so, as believers, we need to be very careful that we're not looking through the lens of uncertainty. If God said it, I believe it, and what? That settles it. That settles it. The lens of uncertainty. And then we come in verses 13 through 34, and there's a lot of verses, and I won't read them all, but we come to the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees are an interesting lot. Some of the Pharisees actually came to believe in Jesus, but because of peer pressure, because of undue pressure, they backed away and they wouldn't really stand for Jesus. But the majority of Pharisees had this vent for wanting to destroy Jesus. And what we see in the Pharisees are three sets of lenses. I want to share them with you this morning. Number one, the Pharisees looked through the lens of legalism. Legalism. All right. Look at verse 15. When the Pharisees also asked him, they brought in this blind man who had been made whole, how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Now, isn't it interesting that here is a man who was born blind, but now he can see, an incredible miracle. But the Pharisees are so blind to the miracle, all they can see is shame on Jesus because he healed on the Sabbath day. That, my friend, is legalism to the nth degree. What is legalism? Legalism is that teaching that says you got to dress the way we dress. You got to act the way we act. You got to go to the same things we do and drive the same things we drive. And you've got to do it all. And if you don't do it just like me, you're going to hell. That's legalism. And that's wrong. And it should never be, never be, never be in the church. Come on. That's what the book of Galatians was written for, to counter legalism. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should return once you've tasted the heavenly gift? Legalism. Legalism is such a heavy taskmaster. Legalism puts a chain on you that you cannot break loose from. It brings condemnation. What? You wore that to church this morning? God is not pleased with you. That's legalism. Come on. Amen. You did what? You went where? You're going to hell. That's legalism. Come on. Legalism. It's that sense that if you don't do like I do, believe like I believe, act like I act, then you are wrong. This is my personal opinion. And I don't want to get on a soapbox, but I want to tell you this. I think that's the real problem in our United States today. We've got people, and they're not necessarily Christian people, but maybe they are. They are so legalistic that they're saying this. If you don't see it the way I see it, if you don't look at it the way I look at it, if you don't vote the way I vote, if you don't do this like I do, then you're bad and you ought to just be destroyed and you ought to be gone and you have no right to say anything. It's legalism. And whether it's in our nation, in our world, or in the church, it must be stopped. Come on. Legalism is bad. It's a lens that people look through. And sadly, though, I feel sorry for people who are wrapped up in legalism because it so limits who they are and their life and their world. And I want to tell you, nothing is finer than to see someone that breaks free of the chain of legalism, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. And to see them rejoice in the freedom that Christ gives. Hallelujah. But the Pharisees, isn't it interesting? They couldn't see the beauty of the miracle. All they could see was, what? Jesus healed on the Sabbath? You see, because they had so taken the Sabbath and turned it into what God had never intended. In the Old Testament, the Sabbath was to be honored, yes. And there were certain things that God said, I prefer you not to do on the Sabbath. But the Pharisees had expanded that so much that most commentators say that in order to obey one rule the Pharisees set, you had to disobey two or three others. It was a no-win situation. Remember when Jesus was in the Sabbath or in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and there was a man there with a withered hand? And Jesus said, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man said, "Oh boy, do I." And he says, "Stretch forth your hand." And the guy went, "Whoa." And there it went. He healed the withered hand. And everyone went, "Ah!" They didn't go, "Glory to Jesus, hallelujah." They went, "Ah!" What's the problem? Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. You can't do that. You know what I always thought? What if it was your arm? You that's pointing the finger? What if it was your arm? Oh, don't do that, Jesus. Okay. Don't do it on the Sabbath day. Wait till Monday or Saturday. No, wait till Sunday. No, that's legalism. And Jesus said plainly, he says, "Look, God did not make the Sabbath for man, or man for the Sabbath, but Sabbath for the man." It was to help him. Legalism. The second lens the Pharisees looked through was the lens of hatred. In verse 18, it says, "The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight." You see, the Pharisees hated Jesus so much, they wouldn't even believe the guy when he said, "I was born blind." They brought in his parents to verify. Now, we'll look at the parents in a moment, but that was hatred. They so hated Jesus. They followed him wherever he went, and anything he did, they tried to catch him. They tried to capture him. They tried to do something to trip him up. They had on the lens of hatred. I want to tell you, if legalism is bad, hatred to me is worse. When we look through the lens of hatred and we say, "I hate them, I hate them, I hate them, I hate them. I hate what they do, I hate how they look, I hate how they talk, I hate being around them, and when I'm around them, I hate them even more." I want to tell you, that is a horrible lens to look through. And those lenses need to be taken off. Amen? That's another lens that I see in our nation today that needs to be thrown away. We may not agree with people. They may be diametrically opposed to what I believe in, but hatred has no place over the eyes of Christians. Come on, amen? No eyes should be covered with the lens of hatred. But the Pharisees, that's what they looked through, is the lens of hatred. Jesus could do no good in their opinion. They hated him so much. That's why when he hung on the cross and gave his last, the Pharisees were rejoicing, because their hatred had found its end. Jesus was dead. But when he rose from the dead, they hated him so much. They tried to hide it by buying off the guards, right? And tell them that you fell asleep. Oh, hatred is such a terrible lens. And then the third lens that I see the Pharisees is the lens of anger. And if you look, skip ahead, they bring in the guy. And in verse 34, they say to this man, they answered and said to him, because this blind man had just explained to them what happened. And then he asked him, he says, "Would you like to believe in Jesus?" And that so infuriated them. In verse 34, they said, "You were completely born in sin and you're teaching us." And they cast him out, or means excommunicated him. They were so angry at this man because Jesus had did a miracle. They were looking through the lens of anger. You know what that does? When you're looking through the lens of anger, you can't see anything else but I'm angry. And you can't do anything to please me because I'm angry, I'm angry, I'm angry, I'm angry. That's why the Bible says to be angry but don't sin. And the way that you can be angry and don't sin is take off the lens of anger and put on the lens of compassion and love and forgiveness. Amen? Then we won't sin. So that's the Pharisees and the lenses they looked through. All right? What about the parents? Look at verse 18. "But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, saying, 'Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?' His parents answered them and said, 'We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know, or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself.'" These parents were speaking through a lens. They were seeing through a lens of fear. Instead of standing up for their son, which they should have done, they threw him to the wolves. Why? Look at the next verse, verse 22. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be thrust out of the synagogue. These parents were so afraid of being kicked out of the church, they would not stand up for their son. That's a tragedy. But rather than blame the parents, I think the parents were looking at it through the lens of fear. They were afraid. They were afraid. They didn't want to be cast out because they believed that they were cast out of the synagogue. There was no way they could be with God. And so they were afraid. Fear is a terrible lens. Fear will make us do things that we otherwise in no way would ever do. That's why the lens of fear, I think, is one of the favorites of the devil. He likes to throw the lens of fear on us so that we are petrified to believe God or to do anything. I want to tell you right now, I'm nothing special, but I'll tell you this. If that's my son, if that's my daughter, you kick me out if you want to, but I am standing up for him. He was blind, but now he can see, and I don't care what you do. Amen? I don't care what you do. You need to stand up for your children. Stand up for your family. Stand up for your mom and dad. You say, well, what if they're guilty? Then go to them privately. But don't you let the Pharisees pin them to the wall. You stand up for them. And it will pay rich dividends later in life. Amen? Amen. So the lens of fear. Now, there's other lenses that people may see things through. Consider these lenses. What about the lens of pain and hurt? Most people in pain, they didn't ask for that. They didn't ask for that. Cheryl, my wife, did not ask for her pain. Didn't ask for it. That she goes through every single day. But she made a conscious decision a long time ago. I am not going to look through the lens of pain. I'm going to look through the lens of grace and every day ask God for His grace and His mercy. And some of you others know what I'm talking about. But sometimes when we're wearing the lens of pain, if we've been hurt, we look at situations through that, and it's very, very difficult. It's very hard. What about the lens of hurt? We've been hurt by somebody. And so we put on the lens, and that's the only way we see that person, is you hurt me, you hurt me, you hurt me. And that's all we can see. I've told this story before, so some of you have heard it before. Some of you that are new haven't heard it. So for you that are new, I'm going to tell it. And for you who have heard it, that's because I'm old. I tell stories more than once. When I was a freshman in high school, I lived in Tillamook, Oregon, and we had two little wiener dogs, dachshunds, those little scrubby things with short legs. And Lady was the mom, and Baby was the little one. And they slept at my feet, and they licked me all over the face. And my brothers thought they were their dogs, but they weren't. They were mine. My mother thought they were hers. They weren't. They were mine. They loved me more. I know that. I would come home from school on the bus, jump off, and here was little baby. She'd be sitting there wagging that little tail. So I'd hold her like this. It was like an automatic licking machine. Turn on the button and... It was great. She'd roll over and I'd pick off the fleas off of her. We had this wonderful symbiotic relationship. It was wonderful. But one day, we lived on a dairy. The farmer came, and as he was coming down the driveway, he wasn't going really fast, but he looked one way, and little baby ran out in front of him, and the truck hit baby. And baby was bleeding, and I ran immediately over, and I reached down to grab baby, and when I did, she bit me. She grabbed my finger, and she bit so hard. And immediately, these words came to my mind, hurting dogs bite. She didn't bite me because she hated me. She bit me because she was hurting. And you don't know how many times in my many years of ministry, God has reminded me of that in dealing with situations, dealing with people, that sometimes they bite, but it's because they're hurting so bad. And I cannot allow myself to look through the lens of hurt. I have to take off that lens and realize I'm looking through the lens of compassion and love and mercy. And that's what we have to learn about people sometimes. But they said this to me. They did this to me. Yeah, but chances are good that they're hurting. And that's what came across. Don't let that lens of hurt stay. Take it off. Amen? The lens of hurt. And we could go on. I could talk about prejudice, as I mentioned. And we look through the lens of prejudice. You know, my grandfather hated this ethnic group and my father did and I have to. No, you don't. Prejudice can be broken. I said prejudice can be broken. And it ought to be broken. And it has to be broken. It has to be broken. It has to. We could talk about the lens of judgmentalism. Judgmentalism simply is you making a judgment on something you have no business to be making a judgment on. That's between them and God. Judgmentalism. There is room for us to do righteous judgment, but it is never with a critical heart or critical spirit. We could talk about the lens of disappointment. God, you disappointed me. So I have on the lens of disappointment, and I'm never going to trust you again. I'm never going to ask for another thing. I'm never going to pray anymore. Take off those lens of disappointment. We will be disappointed in this life because at the end of the day, God knows best. We don't. Amen? We could talk about the lens of the past. Boy, everything that I've gone through, I'm going to put on that lens, and everything in the future, I'm going to judge it by. If you do that, if I do that, we rob ourselves of a glorious future. We have to, just like Paul said in Timothy, let the past, put the past behind us and move forward to what God has. Amen? So no matter the lens we use, it could be that from time to time we need to go and wash in the pool of Siloam and wash away the hatred, the anger, the fear, the legalism, judgmentalism, etc. And instead pick up the lens of love and mercy and forgiveness and understanding and kindness and patience, which is really the biblical view, and it's the way God tells us that we need to look at things. Amen? Look at people through love and understanding and patience and kindness, as hard as that is. I love this story as a little boy because my mama used to say to me, Eddie, don't spit so much, because I was a spitter. It's just what I did. I'm not talking about tobacco, okay? I'm talking about a little kid who discovered spitting. It was like so cool. I just spit. And mama would say, Letty, you spit too much. I can't help it, Mom. Don't spit. Okay, I won't spit. Spit again. And finally she said, Eddie, I don't know what I'm going to do with you. I don't want you to spit. And then in Sunday school or something, they read this story. And I came to Mom and said, Mom, Jesus spit. And after that, Mom didn't talk to me anymore about spitting because how could she top Jesus? Amen. It was very unconventional. He spat in the dirt, he made mud, he put it on his eyes, and he went and washed. But sometimes we need to go wash away the mud and get a proper lens to put on things. Amen? Before we make any major decisions, we need to make sure we're looking through the right lens. Through the right lens. I want to read just a couple of verses from Luke chapter 6. And then I'll be done. Luke chapter 6. In Luke chapter 6, it's Luke's version of the Sermon on the Mount. But let me just read you something here. In verse 6:36, it says, I'll give you a little moment to find it. Luke 6:36 says, therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. In other words, use the lens of mercy. Judge not, verse 37, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Those are lenses. A proper lens to use is forgiveness. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. That's about giving mercy. This isn't relating to money. That may apply, but really it's giving mercy and forgiveness. If you are a big forgiver, you'll get forgiveness back, etc., etc. And he spoke this parable to them, verse 39. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? So here are two blind people trying to help each other get through, and they both will fall in the ditch. Somebody needs to be able to see clearly. And now this blind man can. And if you read the story on from where we left off in John 9, if you read the story on from there, the Pharisees said to Jesus, so you're saying we're blind? And Jesus says, well, you pretty well said it. Those who can't see, see, and those who can see, can't see, because you've set your mind not to believe, all right? And then he goes on in verse 40, 41, disciple is not above his teacher. Everyone who's perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not perceive the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Now, that's a lot of back and forth, but basically what it's saying is put on a different lens. How can we say, shame on you for having a little speck in your eye, when you got a log sticking out of yours? First, remove the log, and then you can help your brother remove the speck. Amen? It's about helping one another. It's a different lens. Verse 43, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth evil. I think in my translation that's saying, what lens are we using? And then it ends with this, for out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. It depends on the lens we're wearing, will dictate what we say. And so let's make sure we have on the right lens. And so let me give you really quickly some things that have helped me, and perhaps they will be of help to you. Number one, if I find that I'm wearing the wrong lens, I need to confess to God that I'm wearing wrong lenses. Number two, I need to ask for the strength to change. God, you give me the strength to change these lenses. Number three, invite the Holy Spirit to be involved in the process. Holy Spirit, I can't do this by myself. I need you to help me change these lenses. Number four, start looking at people and situations through the biblical lens. Not through your hurt, not through your pain, not through your judgmentalism, but through the biblical lens. How does the Bible say to do it? Number five, practice, 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 because it is not easy to take off some lenses. I know, right? I know. Number six, don't give up when it gets hard. When you say, Lord, I can't do it. I'm angry. Don't give up when it gets hard. Matter of fact, you might even take a step of faith and say, Lord, you knock these lenses off my face. But if you do that, get ready, because he's going to do it. It may take round 10, but he's going to knock you down. Come on. Number seven, and I know this is trite, but ask the question, how would Jesus look at this situation? What lens would he do? Now, to conclude, how did the blind man see this miracle? Look at verse 30 of chapter 9 of John. Let me just go through quickly, 30 through 34. They said, how were you made to see? And he says, this is what happened. And then he says, look, you've asked me once, I've told you. You've asked me again. Do you want to believe in him? And they said, no. And so they said, you're out. And then verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to the blind man, do you believe in the Son of God? And the blind man said to him, "Who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him?" And Jesus said to him, "You have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you." And then he said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. That's how we ought to react, is with the lens that we see that Jesus is God's Son, and believe and worship. Praise God. Amen? All right. Let's stand together. Thank you for your attention this morning. And Lord, we thank you today that you have shown us in your word the proper lens to use. I'm not saying anybody here in this second service is not wearing the proper lens. It's possible we've all maybe got on the right ones. But if there is anyone, as I prayed in first service, if there is anyone that's wearing the wrong lens, they're looking at situations or people through the wrong lens, help us, Lord, to take them off and get on the proper lens and look at it through your eyes. Look at it through your eyes. Father, help us to put on the lens of love and mercy and forgiveness and understanding. But sometimes, Lord, we have to confess, I confess, it is awful hard. It's awful hard. But nothing is impossible to him that believes. And so, Lord, you can help us today. Thank you, Jesus. Let us see people and places or people and situations like you see them. If we've used the wrong lens, forgive us, Lord. I confess, I need you to help me walk out this Christian life like I should. And that's why I want to wear the right lenses. If I need to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, then I'll do that, Lord. If you anoint my eyes with that mud, maybe that's a conviction that will come to my heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to me and say, "You're looking at this through a wrong lens. That's like mud in the eye, if you will. Let me go wash in the pool and come back seeing clearly the way Jesus would have me see." Thank you, Father, for your great love for us. And that when you look at us, you don't see what we were, but you see what we are through Christ. You see us through the lens of the cross. Hallelujah. And you see forgiven. And I thank you for that, Jesus. So just help this for whoever it might be helpful to, Lord. Let it be something that they can grab hold of and walk away with and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for being in service today." Be with everyone and help them to enjoy the rest of this Lord's day. Just give them a blessed day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good hand, shall we? Thank Him. Praise God.